Hello, everybody, and welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Marie Larson.
And Mr. Brown is not here today.
He's out of town.
Oh, I like that. Mr. Brown is out of town.
Which I'm kind of nervous about. He kind of reins us in.
He does. Without Mike, there's no telling
what's going to happen.
This could go off the rails in a hurry. So Mike, some of you might not know this about Mike, but he is an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're trying to picture him,
football coach.
You are. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, assistant football coach.
Just anything. He'll just join in anywhere, an assistant coach.
He's just driving by a random game of stickball. All right, kids, now let me show you this. Now, I know that like when I listen to podcasts, I always try to picture the people, right?
Yeah.
So if you're picturing Mike right now, he's an assistant coach,
mm-hmm.
White, short shorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tank top and a whistle?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or would it be a polo?
Knee-high socks.
Knee-high socks. A polo and a whistle, rather.
A polo.
Arms crossed, for uh-huh. sure. Looking serious.
Furrowed brow. Super furrowed brow. His default.
Yeah, that's right. I hope I never miss a podcast, because if I'm ever not here, it's on. I know. So today, we are going to talk about five ways to integrate tech into your literacy. Now, we teach second grade, so if you're a high school teacher, this may not be quite as useful for you, but you just never know. A lot of times you'll hear something, somebody's doing a technology, and you're like, oh.
Take it. This is how I could use this for me, or take it. And
exactly. You can just tweak
make
a little bit.
Make it your own.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the first one's an easy one, and we've actually done this one as a whole podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed Tara Martin, who is credited with creating book snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you haven't heard of book snaps before, we'll give you the quick version, and then you can listen to that podcast if you want to learn more. So book snaps are basically a way for kids to share what they've read without it just being, I'm going to read the words,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which is kind of nice, because usually when you have somebody, a kid, retell a story, they just like flip through the pages and read the words again.
Yeah.
But this is a good way for them to really make it their own, and you can really tell if they get what's going on or not.
Right. Yeah. Well, like, we want kids connecting to books emotionally. We want them to understand, to dig a little deeper, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so what book snaps look like is your kids would take a picture of a page of a book, and then they add emojis
mm-hmm.
to kind of, you know, show the emotions that might be happening or how they feel or a character feels. They add words, and the words could be important words from the page. The words could be an important sentence, a feeling,
mm-hmm.
really.
Feeling, a thought, a
yeah.
connection they had.
I try not to limit it, because they mm-hmm. come up with really interesting things.
They do.
And then they record themselves, and they don't have to read the book. When they record themselves, I have my kids retell kind of what's happening
yep.
so that others will know and have context. And then they tell why they picked their words and emojis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect, because they will just say, well, I picked this grumpy emoji because in this picture, this person had, you know, he was grumpy about such and so.
Mm-hmm.
I picked this key word or phrase because it was really important to this page. So just leaving it wide open. So if you want to learn more, again, just check out that podcast. It was from about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also on our YouTube page, I have a how to do a book snap.
And I think it's also good as a way to, I mean, after they're done, the kids can get onto Seesaw and get a book. Sometimes I'll have the kids go get a book recommendation from our book snaps, or I'll have them like reply with a question underneath
yeah.
that they are curious about the book. Or
and that
it's good interactive.
And that reminds me too, Marie, that book snaps, you can do them right in Seesaw.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a bunch of other apps to do this. Now, if you don't have Seesaw, there are other ways you could do it. We just like that because it's easy to share.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when Tara Martin first did it, she did it with her daughter, who I think was like middle school, and they were actually using Snapchat, which older kids,
which makes, yeah.
it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously for younger kids, they can't be doing Snapchat.
Snapping all day, chatting all day.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what the verb is for that.
Yeah, I don't. It's not tweeting. Is it snapping?
Snapping, chatting.
I don't know.
I don't know. We're not cool enough to know.
We are super old. All right, moving on. So this is a new app that I found this year called Literator, and Literator is free.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, which I can't even believe this app is free, and it's basically for conferring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I first started teaching 15 years ago, things were all around guided reading. And I know a lot of people still do guided reading, and it's great. But depending on what you're trying to do and what age your kids are, you might do a lot more one-on-one or small group conferencing.
Right.
Right? So what Literator does is you put in a class list, and then you give everybody a guided reading level. So J, K, L, that kind of thing. And if you don't use those, there's tons of things you can Google online to look at a correlation chart to say, oh, this is their DRA level. Or
it
this
transfers
is,
into.
Yeah, and it'll transfer over to a letter. So you put in those letters, and then as you go around and confer with kids, it will not only give you prompts. So, you know, I type on Chris's name or Ethan or whoever the person is. It'll bring up their reading level. It'll bring a bunch of prompts up for you, you know, to use with the child. And then with each of those prompts, you can either do like a check mark, like, yeah, they got it. You can do like it's like a thumbs down or like a down arrow, which means not yet. Or you could do a little, and I'm trying to think of the, what the last one is, but it's basically like a check mark that's saying, check on this later. And recheck. And then after you, and you can mark like all of them or just one.
It's such a cool place
or,
to keep all of it. Like, it is. Keep all of that information in one place.
So I know for me, like, I like writing things down in my binder, but the problem is then when it's time to like, see how many kids need help with chunking words, it's really hard to compile all that data. Well, Literator, basically once you've, gone around and conferred with your kids, it will compile all that stuff together and say, hey, 6 year kids need help with this, 7 need help with that, and you can start
which
playing.
Your grouping is there, like you can pull strategy groups back. I need, you know, all these kids need this, and it's there.
It's amazing. Love it. So Literator, a free app, and I will have a how-to video on Teachers Talking Text YouTube page. It's really easy to use, but just to get you started with it, but highly recommended. So the next one, if you have updated to iOS 12, you'll notice that Voice Memos is now just an app on every device. So iPad, iPhone, and even if you don't have it, you can get a free Voice Memo app.
Oh, there's tons out there. Easy. Tons out there.
Yeah, so how do you use Voice Memos with your kids?
For Voice Memos, it's actually been really good for me for when I've been doing some conferencing. Voice Memos have been great for, I'll have the kid record them and listen to their reading fluency. So then they'll take that voice memo and they'll go back and listen to it, or they'll record themselves a couple times. And then instead of me having to say, you know, here's what I think you should be working on, they can listen to themselves read. They can listen to themselves read and say, oh, it sounds really choppy, or, oh, you know, this is how I sounded that word out.
I love that.
And then they save them on there and they can go back and, you know, we can even see a progress, like, this is, you know, one week to another. It's really nice.
That's nice. And you can also export them right to Seesaw.
Yes.
Which is awesome. So if you catch something you want to share with their parents, or you want to save it for another time, you can put it right into Seesaw and you could show their growth. I mean, how cool is that? I love that. So voice memos, again, it should be right built right into your iPad or iPhone. But if not, if you're using different devices, just find any kind of a quick and easy voice memo app where you can record yourself and then name it. That's really all you need. You need a quick way to say, hey, listen to your reading. Now, you can also, if you don't like carrying around 1,000 notebooks with you, you could also use it to have little notes for yourself. Do a quick voice memo. Hey, don't forget to work with this student or work with that student. Because I know, I feel like sometimes I'm like a Sherpa. Like I have, I have like.
Super good mental picture.
You like that? Yes. I'm like on the side of a mountain, like listening to somebody reading. You know, there, but I have like sticky notes and binders and books.
It's so much to keep track. It is. It's so much to keep track
of. It's tons. And a lot of times, like, if my kids are reading under a table, I try to confirm with them. I will get under the table with them. Like, I don't want to call them over to me. So having that notes or the way to do voice memos right there is really great. All right. So number four is a success that both of us have had this year.
Yeah. With homework. I never thought we'd say that.
I mean, if that's another podcast you can go back and listen to of how Mike and I do not like homework, and Marie is not a big fan either. So I was trying to find a way this year that I could use homework in a way that was helpful, that was useful. And so I kind of reached out to like the Seesaw community and had some great ideas. And then Marie and I talked about it, and we're like, oh, we could use Seesaw for homework.
Yes.
So why don't you describe how this goes? Because I think the listeners will love this.
I know, and the kids love it, and the parents have loved it too. So pretty much each week we just put out a reading challenge. Because really, I mean, we would just want our kids to be reading for homework. So we put out a reading challenge on Seesaw through the messaging part of it, messaging out to families. So the challenge could be something like, read to a sibling, or take a picture of your child reading to a sibling, or take a picture of yourself reading outside, or it could be anything. And then parents just post back to us with pictures. And then the next day I display mine during our morning meeting and we talk about it, and the kids are so excited.
Yeah, the things that work really well with it is, number one, it's easy for the teacher. You just, if you've ever done this in Seesaw, it's super easy. Now, you could do this through email, too, but you just send a message. And then, whether it's through email or Seesaw, parents can reply and add a picture to that reply. Mm-hmm. And I make it clear to parents and the kids at the beginning that the goal is reading. So, like, if you don't have a sibling to read with, that's okay. Or if you don't read outside that week or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I think we make them pretty open where they can interpret it however they want to.
Yeah. And then the big thing with it is you have to make sure that if you have like a morning meeting, a time where you're gathering, that you show off those pictures to the group. Mm-hmm. Because that's really what gets the kids to go home and they'll take the ownership of it to say, I want to do this.
And I think I've never had before such a good home connection.
Yeah.
Like the kids can talk about like where they are in the picture, and you can see them in their home environment too, and everybody in class can see them in their home environment. And that connect, I've never had that with homework before. The connection is so cool.
Yeah, so much more useful than just a check off the, you know, the check mark so you can do that math link or whatever it is.
Yes.
You know, and I will say this too, that teachers have told me that they have trouble connecting parents on Seesaw. And the key really is to make something so the kids push them. If you have those parents that are really unwilling, even if it's not Seesaw, if you just have parents who are not engaged, you can help make them get engaged through their children bugging them, basically, to say, hey, I want you to do this.
Well, and I've made mine a secret. I think you've started doing that too. I don't tell them what it is. I say you have to go home and you have to check it at home. And they're so excited the day I post it.
Yeah, that was...
I post it the same day each week, and they're so excited about it.
Yeah, that was good. I started that last week with my kids where they asked me what the challenge was, and I said, oh, no, you're going to have to ask your parents to find out. Mm-hmm. And that really made it a big difference. I got tons of responses. I really don't like reading logs, and I think most teachers don't like reading logs, even the ones who use them don't like them. But it's like, well, what else can you do?
Right.
I think this is a way.
It's an accountability.
It is an accountability, but it doesn't have to be, I must get a picture every day. It's more of an idea of getting them into good habits of reading at home.
Well, and I think with it too, you know, I have some kids don't respond at all. I have some kids who respond once. I have one who sends me a picture every day, and that's great. And you can kind of take it, and parents can use it as much or as little as they want.
Yeah. And guess what? There would be people not doing their homework or not doing any reading at home. I know, like, as a parent, I faked a reading log once or twice. You know what I mean? I know, sorry. I hope none of my son's teachers are listening. But I've had to, because I felt so guilty as a parent that we didn't do the homework.
Right.
And so I like added a couple minutes or added some pages because I was like, oh my gosh. But in the end, I'm thinking like, why? All of us have lives where we are busy. And really, I feel, and you can go back and listen to our whole podcast about this, but I think anybody with children will understand. And really anybody with a family will understand that families come first. Mm-hmm. They just do. And you only have a certain amount of time when the school year has started to spend with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that time should not be wasted doing busy work. It just shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel good about it. I feel good that it gets kids involved.
We have to give homework.
And we do.
And this has been a really nice way to do it.
Yeah.
I
will put a video up of how to do that, because I know I had some questions from folks that didn't quite understand within Seesaw how you would have parents respond. So I'll do a little quick video if you want to check that out on the YouTube page. So the last one is recording reading. And I did some videos about this, but this is a really great success that I feel that I've had getting to know my kids better as readers.
Mm-hmm.
I think if most teachers, when you ask them, like, what would you like more to happen in your classroom during literacy, they'd say, I wish I could get to more of my kids, right?
Yes.
Especially high readers, kids that you don't have as much time for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, recording their reading is a great way to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you can't go through hours and hours of reading. It's really hard to get kids to record themselves on camera,
mm-hmm.
you know, like setting up the camera and all that kind of stuff. So one way that I've done this that has worked really well is by using Epic.
Mm-hmm.
So Epic is an app. You can also, you know, use their website.
It's free
for educators. And they have tons of fiction, nonfiction, you name it. They have tons of great books on there. And then I use screen recording. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing about it is that I can basically record my screen while I'm flipping through a book, and then I can share it to my teacher via whatever you're using, Google Classroom, Seesaw, AirDrop, whatever.
But it's easier than having, you know, like you said, setting up a camera and reading from a book, taking mm-hmm. a picture of a page, yes. going back and forth. It's nice it's all there.
Yeah. And so it's a little tricky getting started, but if you, again, if you go to the videos on our YouTube page, there is a video all about just screen recording on iOS devices. So if you have iPads, as long as they're not really old, you have screencasting built right into the iPad. And there's just a few tricks. So you could just turn on that screen recording, go to Epic, and then record. And it could be, you could say, hey, just record two pages so I can hear what's going mm-hmm. on. You know, or on a Chromebook, using Screencastify is a great free app. And you could screen record while you're reading on Chromebooks. And I love that because over the weekend, I can go through and I can write notes. Mm-hmm. And I can write little things. So when I go to meet with that child, I already have teaching points and things and comments or compliments for them.
And you can pull the recording back up and listen to it. And that's another way that they can listen to themselves and
yeah.
be reflective on their fluency or their decoding skills or whatever.
Yeah. So recording reading, especially with screen recording, I just absolutely love. If you like doing it another way, that's fine. This is just one idea. And Epic is free. Screen recording apps are pretty much all free as far as what we're talking about. So it wouldn't cost you any money to do it either. And really, I just taught like 5 or 6 of my kids to do it, mm-hmm. and then they taught others. So it was pretty easy to get my kids going on it. By the way, I mean, I know I've mentioned a lot in this episode, but the YouTube channel for Teachers Talking Tech, it's not something that we do to make money. Obviously, there's not that many people listening to it, that you get money for it. Like, you have to have like 100,000 followers. Yet. Yeah, yet. That's right. Growth mindset. Really, what it's there for is we've all been through PD sessions and we're done with our PD and we're like, okay, well, that was all right. But, you know, even if we learn something great at PD, then we use it 2 months later and it's mm-hmm. like, wait, what did I do?
It's a great resource to go back to.
Exactly.
Figure out how to do that, yeah.
That's really the reason I do those, is so when you're ready to put your toes in the water and try some things, you can go there and you have a resource, mm-hmm. especially if you don't have other teachers around you that might be already doing things that can help you. So really do take advantage of that. I love seeing comments. And if you follow or if you like the our YouTube page, you'll get notifications when there's new videos, nice. Things like that. But anyway, just wanted to mention that. So I think that's it. That's our 5 tips. Book snaps, Literator, right? Voice memos, which, by the way, I forgot to mention, Literator. I have been using it on iOS, and it works on iPhone and iPad. I don't okay. know if it's out there for other devices. So I hope
worth
it
checking
is.
Out. It's definitely worth checking.
Yeah, I think you have to have a mobile device. I don't think it's available via the web.
Okay.
But if you're using an Android device or something like that, hopefully that works for you, and I hope you can find that. If not, I guess you're just going to have to drop $800 on an iPhone, right? No big deal.
It's for Literator.
It's
for a good cause.
The app is free. Come on, spend $800 for a phone. Big
you're
deal.
You're wasting money not having it.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, thanks for the listen. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully it gave you some ideas of ways that you can integrate tech into your literacy. If you have any questions or you want to connect with us, there are many ways to do that. You can email us at teacherstalkingtech@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Uh-oh, Mike's not here.
I get to do it.
You do.
I never get to do it.
I know.
Let's see if I can do it.
All right.
At teach some tech.
It's not actually 3 different words, though. It's not teach some tech. You took a lot of breaks in there.
Teach some tech?
Yeah.
He does deliver it better. Teach some tech?
Oh, there you go. That was pretty good. That was nice.
I wasn't ready. I mean, it was the moment.
And also on Facebook, you can follow us on our Facebook page. Just look for Teachers Talking Tech. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Marie Larson.
Bye.
See ya. Are you Miss or Mrs. Larson? Miss.
You ought to be like, I'm Ms.
Oh, my granddaughter told me. Yeah.
What happened to that, by the way? What happened to Ms? That used to be a thing.
Smart goes by Ms.
Does she?
So does Slicer.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I call everybody Mrs. because I'm such an idiot.
Can you just pick?
Like, yeah, you might be able
Ms.
to.
No, Ms. is something.
Miss, I always think of somebody with, like, that, like, a bonnet on and, like, that dress like that, like, sticks out in the back, and they're like, hey, everyone. You know what I mean? Like, Mrs. Hello, or Miss. Ma. Yeah, Miss. Or, like, a preschool teacher. Yeah. Like, Miss Emily.
But I feel like since I'm, like, over 30, like, you can't be Miss anymore. Like, you graduated to Ms.
I thought Ms. was the younger one.
I think Miss is the younger one. Like, doesn't Miss sound like an infant?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Deep conversation.
Deep conversation.